Hey folks, welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I am Mark DeFalco.
And Mark, you are subbing in for Brian Keller.
I am.
Yeah, he may have been deported this entire month, so it's going to be a wonderful time. Let's get right into it, because the big news is Visual Studio Update 2.
Very update exciting. 2. Yeah, they're continuing on this whole frequent updates, a promise they made back when VS 2012 was launched. Includes a couple cool new things.
Yeah, let's show some of the screenshots. Now, these are from Soma's blog. Soma Sager, of course, being the core VP for the developer division at Microsoft. What you see here is some of the new customization tools for the Kanban planning tools. So if you are, you know, if you're doing Agile, there's a backlog and there's a board and there's a Kanban? I don't know. Probably Kanban. I'll go
sure.
with Kanban, sure. The point is you can now totally customize that view, and that was one of the things customers had been asking for. Now, there's a number of features and improvements in DFS where you can change editing and stuff, but this is probably a big one folks have been asking for. Now, another one is actually this Windows Store Profiler. So if you have a Windows Store app, we did a number of things to help developers in Update 1 with this profiler, and this actually includes some things, for example, like visual throughput. You can see latency on touch interactions and so on. So the idea is you can profile and actually see how your application is working, how it's rendering, you know, how much time you're spending doing image decoding and so on. So super cool, and I mean, just look, I don't even know what this does, but look at that. Look at that.
That's it's got awesome. Pretty colors, and that's what matters.
Yeah, so no.
Good profiling tools are usually hard to come by, and getting one in your IDE is extremely convenient, especially, like you said, in this kind of specialized software world where, you know, touch is super important, you know, responsiveness and all this. Like, you need to have your performant apps.
Yeah, this is awesome, and you get sort of a breakdown of everything that's going on. So really, really cool stuff. Now, another tool, and not necessarily a lot of developers are aware of this one, and I really think it's one of the coolest things we have. It's called CodeMap. And the idea behind CodeMap, and what we're looking at here is, one, it gives you a visual representation of how, like your workflow of code, if, then, else, and the flow as it's calling different methods and so on. Which is good if you're analyzing, you know, a code base that you've never seen before, and you would do that at kind of design time. But one of the key things where you'd want CodeMap, and this is new for Update 2, is the ability to do it when you're debugging. Mm-hmm. So what you see here is you're actually on a breakpoint, and you can see, okay, you know, right now I'm in a layout aware page, and I have a key on an item click, and I think my next step is on navigated to, and so forth. So you can kind of walk through what's going to happen. Depending on this particular case, if the page key is null, it's going to go there.
Right, kind of visualizing your call stack almost while debugging and be able to kind of poke through.
It's like, why is it my call to this method getting called? It's like, oh, it's in this workflow, and we can kind of see how it's going to go down. So very, very cool stuff, and definitely a tool that I think a lot of developers will get a kick out of to help debugging. Now, the other big news, of course, is, and we did talk about this last episode, is Build.
Build June 26th through 28th down in the Moscone Center down in San Francisco. Was announced last week. Registration started earlier this week, and registration ended earlier this week. Registration has closed for the conference. That was just about 24 hours of
Yeah,
of
probably
sales.
A little less, yeah, but same difference.
And so we will be streaming content from there. Content will be available just like our other conferences. But we do have a wait list. We do encourage you to go and sign up for it. There are always cases where there's cancellations.
A good example is last year, and again, you don't hope for this, but one, customers do cancel all the time. Two, we had Hurricane Sandy, where a number of folks on the wait list got their golden ticket at the very end, which is, you know, a good thing for them, I guess.
Yes, maybe not a good example, but like I said,
things happen,
travel plans, jump on the wait list, we have it there for you. Our registration team will get in touch with you when and if spots open up, so.
Now, the other point, too, is for people who don't know, what would you say, because you're actually, like, writing the code, deploying this, this part of the website, and obviously we use a vendor for the actual registration process, but maybe explain... Did you actually did this?
Oh, so sure. I mean,
don't know.
Sure. Yeah, I'm responsible for a couple of the conference websites. So I don't do the design. We have people that help us with that. I do not.
Of course.
Yeah, actually,
that has been on Channel 9.
But yeah, I'm kind of the guy who is pressing the button at whatever time we're launching and things. So it's not stressful at all.
No
one ever's over your shoulder.
What? You don't like my room? I actually wrote a script to reminder email you.
Oh, good. That's good. That would explain.
That's how automated the process of beating shall be. another thing, and certainly I'm a big fan of this, is the build hackathon that we are doing again. So the idea is folks to build on Windows, Windows Phone, Windows Azure. And there's a number of, we do have a FAQ out on the page, and a lot of people saying, hey, give us more information about the hackathon. Just so you know, the FAQ is there, and we're really using a lot of the things that worked well last time and trying to improve the feedback that we got in terms of better communication, knowing who the experts are, and so on for this year. And Clint Ruckus is running that, so it should be very cool.
You can go back on Channel 9 and watch the very last or one of the last Channel 9 live sessions from Build was all the winners from the previous hackathon.
Yeah.
So you can go and see what people put together in a couple of nights, really.
Yeah, and the coolest part is there's a number of folks who were at the last hackathon that are already kind of really excited to build apps this hackathon.
Really,
so,
really.
Yeah, they kind of have a little bit of an advantage, I'd say, because they know what they're getting into.
Been doing it under pressure, know kind of the atmosphere.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe there'll be some surprises in there from this year.
No-dos, yeah.
Yes.
Now, what is this?
Oh, this is the Channel 9 app for Windows 8. So we actually, we've been working on this quite some time. We didn't want to kind of rush it out. We had one that was in the preview versions of, I can't remember if it was consumer preview or somewhere around there during the Windows 8 previews, but we now have the official launch of the actual official Channel 8 app.
Nine.
Channel 9 app for Windows 8.
That's great.
So you can watch this video about us talking about the 9 app on the 9 app, which then consumes the
it's
video.
Very meta.
So actually, yeah, if you're watching it here, this is the app.
And free screen.
Great. Yes. That's going to be the title shot for this one, isn't it?
It was like, were you guys redoing Cats? Was that the yeah. was that the musical Cats there?
But real quick, yeah, I mean, you can go through, watch all your favorite shows, series, new
downloads, videos.
Yeah, download videos or PowerPoints from sessions, things like that. We'll be including updates with new features as time goes on. So
cool. And Play 2.
Yeah,
very cool things.
All the Win 8 kind of interaction stuff. So search, share.
You know, because a lot of people ask to watch Channel 9 on their TVs.
You can, sure.
Yes, there you go. Now Michael Crump has a cool tool for presenters. So the idea behind here is obviously you can change the fonts in Visual Studio, and you can just do the plus to change the fonts. But one of the things this thing does is actually enable you to change the dialog menus. So, you know, Solution Explorer and some of the other tools, you can actually change those so they're much bigger. Mm-hmm. So I like using our built-in accessibility tool to kind of zoom in, zoom out. Some people really like zoom it.
Says Mark Prasanovich's one is Zoom It, right?
Yeah. So to get that. So this is definitely a cool one for folks who need to present anytime you're plugging into PowerPoint, you should or plugging into a projector to display. This is a tool you should have. Cool. Now what is this?
New stuff on modern.ie. Modern.ie is the kind of portal for making sure your web coding is standards compliant, making sure you're doing stuff the most modern way, and being able to kind of test and do things. Some new things they announced. Well, guys, we're a little late on this, but they were offering a Windows Quick Start Kit for Mac developers, which is basically Parallels Desktop 8 and then Windows 8 on a USB stick. And it was for a $25 donation to charity.
Mm.
So you gave the donation. It doesn't matter. That basically sold out in a couple hours. So
yes.
That offer, they said that, you know, given how popular it was, they'll probably look at doing something similar again. So keep an eye out on modern.e for that. But that was a really cool offer to help out with cross-platform testing. There are now also new virtual machines for IE10 on Windows 7 and IE8 on Windows XP. So again, if you're on Windows 8, you want to do some backup testing on previous versions, those are probably your best shot. Also still available on there is BrowserStack.
Yep.
An offer from them, which is basically those virtual machines in the cloud. And I think the offer we have is a three-month free trial. And then there's more issues added into the interoperability scanning tool that is on the site and is downloadable as well. So go check out the new features right on the front of the modern.ie.
Cool. And our next story is actually a real simple game called Lumalite for Windows 8. The idea is, one, it kind of shows you some just basic, simple AI for where fireflies show up and so on. But really the value here is to show off the Windows Azure features. So the idea is I have multiple clients, they're all playing the game, and there's online leaderboards. So how do I build my Azure mobile service? How do I add scripts to it to build, you know, the one table that's going to store all the data, and then all the clients are, for example, requesting that data so you can see who's winning the online leaderboards. So if, for example, you're looking at Azure Mobile Service, it's sort of like a real simple example that you can take and show how you'd actually build this.
Cool.
Cool. Now, what is this?
Hey, it looks like you're writing a service. Clemens Vasters has this new series called Subscribe, which I guess is just self-promotion. I mean, it makes sense. On this episode, he had our friend of Channel 9, Barry Dorans.
Blowdart. People know him as Blowdart. Yes.
Say Blowdart. He's on the forums quite a bit in the coffee house, so you can feel free to chat with him there or comment on this session. Here he talks about kind of how he is the Clippy of security sometimes for service teams. It's like, hey, you're writing a service. Would you like security with that? And I believe in there the answer, you can't really say no. Apparently, we have this secure development lifecycle.
Turns out you need to staple security on to everything.
So a number of years ago, I think before I joined Microsoft, actually, there was a big push around creating trustworthy computing and the secure development lifecycle, and how a lot of people think it's kind of about coding practices and testing practices. But it's actually a lot more than that. I mean, it starts with training your developers and PMs and designers and everyone from the start on the correct practices, your modern problems that are out there and issues and common attack vectors, making sure all that stuff is in the requirements and doing attack analysis and security threat analysis.
And even making sure that you have the right way to log so that you know whether there is a threat or are you being attacked, because a lot of people don't even have that monitoring.
Right, yeah. If it does happen, you end up in this kind of mode where you're reacting and not sure. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's part of it as well, is how do you respond? How are you set up to respond to issues? Is just because you're never going to have 100%, you know, bug-free, issue-free code as long as us mere humans are still writing code. So you better have at least a way to minimize the threat, and then a way to, you know, you're going to be able to respond and update and do all that. So the secure development lifecycle. But listen to Barry talk to Clemens about it. It's a pretty good, it's not too long of a video.
Cool. Which brings us to our Picks of the Week!
Picks of the Week. This week, Bill Gates and Paul Allen, that iconic photo there on the right of them sitting next to some machines a little older than I am used to.
Yes.
In fact, I didn't want to mention, but this photo may have been taken before I was born.
Nice.
So not familiar with those at all. But these computers, this is the actual hardware from the original photo that is now in Paul Allen's living museum of computing, or computer museum, basically. It has a ton of old, cool stuff. And they got together and recreated this photo.
I love this photo, yeah. It's kind of a classic. I mean, check out Paul's beard, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, a little bit of change. I would say
it's funny, the Paul to the right looks older.
yeah, almost, right?
So, it's very cool. I love that picture, so it's a classic. So my pick of the week is actually from Avanade, which unveiled an interactive shopping with NFC, augmented reality, and Kinect motion sensing. Because, you know, you need all three.
I was just going to say, that's a whole lot jammed in one.
Yeah, so basically imagine like you can basically view and select products from a screen, transfer them to your mobile device, all like Minority Report style. So, you know, you go up, maybe you're scanning a QR code or something, and you'd be able to actually It scans the device, has information. Oh, what do you want? Licensing, change your plan, blah, blah, blah. Click it. You could potentially send data back to your phone so you could be reading about, let's say, you're at the AT&T store. Here's the three plans for SMS messaging because you selected
right,
that.
Right.
There's all sorts of different interaction models that you can have where it can actually be sending you data back. You could be checking out with that, all sorts of stuff.
That's really cool. I mean, the grouping them together, a lot of people are all kind of diving into individual technologies. I know we kind of, a lot of times, will binge on one thing, but put them all together is really the end result, right? Where we want to be is, scanning, sometimes a gesture, sometimes tapping. Got to have it all.
Yes, very cool stuff.
The future is here.
I know. Thank you, Mark, for being here.
Fun as always.
And we shall see you next time.
Thanks.
Thank you.